All right, ready to dive into something pretty cool. Today, we're tackling topology optimization. We're talking about designing structures that are as efficient as they can be. Think bridges that use only the material they absolutely need. Or picture airplane wings perfectly sculpted for amazing aerodynamics. And all of this thanks to some seriously smart algorithms.
Yeah, it's really like being a sculptor, but instead of chipping away at marble, you're kind of giving a computer instructions. And those instructions tell the computer how to find the best way to arrange the material within a specific space.
So, for a while now, the big name in the game has been this method called SIMP. Imagine, you divide your design space into this grid, right? And then you decide how much material you want to put in each square. It's kind of like playing Tetris, but the goal here is to be as efficient as possible. But you ready for the really cool part? This is where our deep dive gets interesting.
What if we could ditch that grid? What if we could use something way more flexible instead of those rigid squares? Something with the potential to create even more complex and efficient shapes. Well, that's what researchers Chandrasekhar and Suresh explored in their paper called TOEN, Topology Optimization Using Neural Networks.
Neural networks, interesting. Seems like AI is popping up everywhere these days, even in structural engineering. So how does a neural network even begin to design a bridge? Or an airplane wing, for that matter?
Okay, so imagine this. A neural network learns just like we do through trial and error. So in this situation, you give the neural network all the info about what you want to design, like the forces involved, the space you have to work with, and the types of materials you're using.
So you're basically giving the neural network all the ingredients for a recipe.
Exactly. And you know how a chef might change up their recipe after getting feedback from, say, a taste test? Well, the neural network uses that input, creates a design, and then looks at how well it performs. The key here is something we call a loss function. Think of it as a way to measure how far off the design is from being perfect. The smaller that loss function, the better the design.
Okay, so smaller the loss, the better the neural network is doing. But how does it know what a good design even is in the first place?
That is where the training comes in. We show the neural network tons of examples of awesome designs, and we include their loss functions too. And over time, it starts to pick up on the patterns, the relationship between the shape, how the material is spread out, and how well the structure performs.
So it's like it's learning from the best in the business, picking up on the tricks of the trade that might take human engineers years to even grasp.
Precisely. And it gets even cooler. The neural network uses that knowledge to come up with its own designs. It constantly changes them, refines them, always trying to hit that lowest possible loss function. This back and forth process, this design, analysis, and improvement, that's where the magic really kicks in.
And it's doing all of this without needing someone to program in all the complicated rules of structural engineering. That's what blows my mind about neural networks, their ability to learn and adapt. But how does this TOEN method actually work in real life? What are we actually feeding into this neural network? And what are we getting back out?
So instead of those squares on a grid we talked about, TOEN uses the neural network to define what we call a continuous density field. Imagine this. Every single point in the design space has a specific density value, a number between 0 and 1. This number tells us how much material should be at that exact point.
So if it's a 1, that means completely solid material, and a 0 is like dot nothing, empty space.
You got it. And everything in between. That represents all the different levels of material density.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this. It's like giving the neural network way more freedom to come up with interesting shapes. Like it can sculpt with a much finer level of detail. But how does it know what those density values should be for literally every point in the design space?
That, my friend, is where the input to the neural network comes into play. We feed it the coordinates of each point in the design space, kind of like giving it a map. The network then takes those coordinates, processes them through its internal layers, and then it spits out a density value for that specific point.
It's like the neural network is coloring in a map of the design space with different shades of gray to represent the material density.
Now you're getting it. And the more it learns, the better it gets at shading. Mm. And that leads to designs that are not only strong, but also potentially way more efficient and creative than anything we've seen before.
Exactly. And the really cool thing is that the neural network isn't just following some pre-programmed rule book. It's actually developing its own understanding of what makes a structure strong, lightweight, efficient, you know, all the good stuff.
Okay, I'll be honest. That's where I start to lose the plot a little. It's like we're giving this neural network way too much credit. How do we even know it's really learning? What if it's just stumbling onto a decent solution by pure luck? That's a great question, and it gets right to how we train these networks. Remember the loss function. Think of it like trying to throw a paper airplane as far as you can. The distance between where your plane lands and where you wanted it to land, that's your loss function. The smaller that distance, the better your throw, right?
So the neural network is constantly trying to shrink that loss function, get as close to the perfect design as possible.
Precisely. And just like a sports team might watch game footage to see what they can improve, the neural network uses a process called backpropagation. It looks at every single decision it made, every tweak to those density values, to see how it affected the overall loss function.
So it's basically learning from its mistakes, figuring out what worked, what didn't, and then changing its strategy.
Exactly. It's a continuous cycle of design, analyze, refine, repeat, gradually getting better with each try. It's like having a tireless design assistant who's constantly learning and striving for that best possible solution.
That's amazing when you put it like that. But let's talk real-world applications. Did Chandrasekhar and Suresh actually test this IRN method out?
Oh, they did, and the results are pretty impressive. They threw some classic engineering challenges at tie-in. Things like designing a cantilever beam, imagine a diving board sticking straight out, and a meshel beam, which is known for being super strong for its weight.
Okay, so these are like the benchmark tests, the gold standard for any new structural design method. How did Tyon do against the competition?
In many cases, it performed just as well as the tried and true methods, sometimes even beating them out in terms of efficiency.
So it's not all just theory, it actually works in practice. But were there any differences between the designs Tyon created and the designs made using more traditional methods?
That's where it gets really interesting. The designs Tyon came up with often had a certain elegance to them, a smooth, flowing quality that you don't always see with the traditional methods.
Elegance. We're talking about algorithms designing bridges and airplane wings, not exactly art museums.
I know, it sounds strange, but it's true. The boundaries of the structures were super crisp and organic, almost like the neural network had this intuitive sense of how forces move through the material.
So it wasn't just copying the designs it learned from during training, it was coming up with its own creative solutions.
Exactly. And that's what has people so excited about Tyon. It's not just a new way to do the same old thing. It has the potential to unlock completely new design possibilities, things we haven't even thought of yet. Mm-hmm. But like any new approach, Tyon does come with its own hurdles.
Oh, I guess even superheroes have their weaknesses, right? What kind of challenges are we talking about here? Lay it on me. What are some of the things that tripped up Tyon?
So one thing Chandrasekhar and Suresh found is that Tyon, while great at the big picture, it sometimes misses out on those tiny details that traditional methods are really good at. It's like, you know, comparing a really nice sketch to a super high resolution photo.
Yeah.
Both give you the idea, but one captures all the little nuances way better.
A trade-off between like elegance and super fine detail then.
Yeah.
Anything else that Tyon struggled with?
Yeah. So dealing with distributed loads, that was tricky. Imagine a bridge, right? And it's got the weight of a bunch of cars spread out across it. That's a distributed load, as opposed to just one heavy thing, like hanging from a hook. And in some of those situations, Tyon, it kind of got stuck.
Stuck how?
It kept going back and forth, like unsure if it should add or remove material in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to these kind of gray areas in the final design, where the density wasn't a clear zero or one, almost like the algorithm couldn't make up its mind. The 88-line code, even though it's slower, it handled these situations way better.
So room for improvement. I guess that's normal for anything new, right? Are these like solvable problems, or are we talking fundamental limitations here?
I'm leaning towards solvable. I mean, Tyon is still young, and they're already looking at ways to get around these issues. You know, playing with the loss function, trying out different types of neural networks. It's a work in progress.
Okay, that's good to hear. Because honestly, this all sounds incredibly promising.
Oh, absolutely. Think about applying Tyon to 3D problems, which is already a thing. The paper even shows this really cool example of a 3D edge cantilever designed with Tyon. Or imagine you want to use a mix of materials, each with its own properties. Tyon could figure out the perfect blend, no problem.
This is seriously blowing my mind. Tyon could change how we design, well, everything.
And here's another cool thing. Tyon just gets constraints. Like, this part has to be symmetrical, or we can't put any material here. It's all built in, which opens up tons of possibilities for designs that are actually doable in the real world.
Okay, last question before we wrap up. You mentioned before that these neural networks, we don't program them with engineering knowledge directly. So how much do we actually understand about why they come up with the designs they do?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the neural network has this black box of design intuition. Mm-hmm. We give it input. We see the output. We know it's optimizing for what we want. But the actual why, the logic behind those specific choices, that's still kind of a mystery.
So we've basically created this awesome design assistant, but we don't totally get how its brain works.
Exactly. And that's something to think about, right? Is TMN just copying what it's seen before?
Right.
Or is it uncovering completely new design principles, things we haven't even imagined yet?
Now that is a question worth pondering. A huge thank you to our expert for this incredible deep dive into the world of TONN and Popology optimization. It's safe to say the future of design is going to be anything but boring. Until next time, stay curious, everyone, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive into the world's most fascinating research.